thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with multimedia personality from Hot 97 Radio, TT Torres, joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. TT, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. I always appreciate spending some time with you.
So obviously you're amazing. This is an undisputed fact, but for our viewers who are meeting you for the first time, TT Torres is a multimedia personality and radio executive currently being featured on Hot 97. Despite being an exclusive media source in her own right, TT has also been featured in various media and news outlets, including The Source, Star, and Vibe magazines, Television's Nancy Grace, Entertainment Tonight, New York Daily News, New York AM, Cosmopolitan, and Access Hollywood. Quentin Tarantino, P. Diddy, Rick Ross, and 50 Cent were among notable celebrity interviews. That is so freaking cool. TT Torres has covered the red carpet at the MTV VMAs, the BET Awards, the BET Hip Hop Awards, the Grammys, and was one of the hosts of the Culture List on BET Centric Network. So obviously you've had an incredible career. You have so much more to accomplish, but you've accomplished and achieved so much. But I want to take us back to the very beginning. How in the world did you get involved in this industry? I always ask people who I consider celebrities, how did you get involved?
You know what's so crazy? I often say, and I say this in my book that's coming out in 2022, I didn't discover radio or find radio. Radio found me. When I was in high school, I had a family friend who owned a nightclub, and all the radio personalities would come to the nightclub. It was popping. I mean, they like Little Kim and all these hip hop artists would come through. And I was like, wow, you can have fun and get paid to do this. Oh no, this is something I definitely can do. So I got really intrigued by that. And so there was this show, this was in Charleston, South Carolina, because I graduated high school down south. There was this radio personality who did the morning show, and they were called the Breakfast Club, Tessa and Baby J. And they would, you know, host Friday and Saturday nights at the club, the radio station would, and I would serve them drinks because I was a waitress. And I said, hey, you know, I'm interested. You know, it's my senior year in high school. I'm about to go to college. I was going to go to Norfolk State University, HBCU, in Virginia. And I'm like, you know, I think this is what I want to do. Can I come in? Can I shadow you for a day? And they're like, cool, yeah, come through. And so I got up early. I went to their morning show and I was like, oh no, this is me. I could do this. But I thought I was going to do television because Ricky Lake was somebody that I idolized. Like I would go in the mirror and I would practice and I would act like I was Ricky Lake. And the reason why I liked her so much, because she was chubby like me and she was just quirky and different. And she didn't fit the mold of like your television talk show host at the time, you know, skinny, had to be this, like she was kind of different. And she really kind of caught my attention. So I really thought I was going to take the TV route. And then when I discovered radio, I fell in love with it. So I went to college. Long story short, I went to college. I went to Norfolk State. I started doing the morning show at my college radio station. And it just went from there. And I just grinded. And you know, the power of God. And I'm a true believer in faith and the universe. It just flourished. You know, but this is 20 plus years in the making. You know, I didn't just get into radio overnight.
Well, I love that story because, you know, I spoke to Felix Hartman, who's going to be on the show. He said, you know, in overnight success, 10 years in the making, right? So it's so much work year after year after year that builds to where you get to now. So that was actually a question on my list. You know, was this something that, you know, you wanted to do since you were 5 years old? You know, I certainly didn't think I'd be in politics when I was five. You know, is this something you thought you'd be doing since you were a child or you know?
Well, I was always a visionary. So I grew up in a very dysfunctional household and very poverty stricken, but I was always a visionary. And when I say visionary, I used to write a lot. I used to see myself bigger than my environment. And I would pretty much, I didn't know at the time it was called manifestation, but I was manifesting my future, not knowing that that was what I was doing. So I used to read a lot because reading helped me to escape. So when I would read books, I would picture myself in that book. That's why I'm a lover of reader to this day. I could visualize the characters. I could see the scenes in my mind. And so I always knew that I was going to be in entertainment. And I was the first baby born at the Veterans Hospital, Kingsbridge Hospital in the Bronx. And so my face was on the cover of the Daily News the next day. So my mom will tell you she was born for stardom, but me, I think I manifested it.
I love that. You know, my mom's a therapist, so you know these terms are not new to me in terms of manifesting what you want out of this world. I want to ask you, because so many people I speak to in radio and TV, they say, I don't want to do it because my first job is going to be in the middle of nowhere. And it's, you know, what was the importance of maintaining that positive mindset at that first job? You know, what was your mindset? What was the importance of really knocking it out of the park in that first role?
Yeah, I'm so happy you said that, because you're right. There's so many people that say, oh, I don't want to get into middle America. You know, I'll never make it back to New York. But you know what? I always knew I was going to be in New York, and I always knew I was going to be a Hot 97. I never doubted myself. And it's like seeing this vision, this mountain from a far away, right? But you climbing up that mountain slowly, slowly, slowly. And before you know it, you at the top of that mountain. That's what Hot 97 was for me, because it's the biggest radio station on the planet. It was the first hip hop radio station ever. And so deep down, people aspire to really be at Hot 97. And radio heads, people that love this game, that's what they aspire to be. So I knew that this was going to be my thing. I didn't care what market I was in. I didn't care. I lived in Connecticut doing middays. I lived in Philadelphia doing the weekends, taking a China, you know, the Chinese buses that you could catch on 34th Street in Chinatown, and then the ones on Chinatown. I used to take those buses just to work a weekend shift from New York to Philly, take the D train at 1-2 o'clock in the morning when a bus would come back after my shift, and walk in the middle of the winter from the D train to where I lived on 161st Street in the Bronx. So it didn't matter to me. My work ethic I've always had. So I knew if I was in, and I did Charleston, South Carolina, I lived in North Carolina, I lived in Charlotte. But all of these places were building blocks for me. And that's how I looked at them, as building blocks. So if you're not afraid to put your blocks together, like a kid who takes the time to put their Legos together, that's kind of how you have to look at your career. And especially when it comes to journalism. And I always put 100% into whatever market I was in. And with the power of the internet, you really don't have to, you could be in any market you want to be in. As long as you're pushing out content and good content that's competing in that space, somebody, you're going to grab somebody's attention.
Well, that, you know, it leads me to my next question. The mindset, I'm sitting here and I'm smiling. I know our viewers can see us, because that's the mindset I had in terms of, you know, I ran for the school board, right? You know, I'd love to have ran for big, glorious office at 18, but you know what? I'm going to run for this office and I'm going to take it very seriously. I'm going to be the best school board member I can be. And then next time I'll be able to prove myself in a higher office. And I was able to do that. And I want to ask you, so you're at Hot 97. I mean, such a historic, amazing radio station. And, you know, listen to it all the time. What is it like to work at Hot 97? It's got to be the coolest job.
It is one of the coolest jobs on the planet, but it's competitive. I mean, you know, it is like politics, you know, in a way, you know. Sorry, my son just, whenever I'm interviewing, he just wants to jump in. Like
I've met him. He's awesome. He's welcome. He's welcome here.
I'm like, hey, mommy's doing a podcast right now, bro. So it's a lot like politics. The industry is a lot like politics. It's all about, you know, who you know, movers and shakers and whatnot. But it's also a very family-oriented company. Like, we at Hot 97, we're very family-oriented. It's very competitive. It's high-functional, and it never stops. That's the best I could describe it. But we have a whole lot of fun in between. So, you know, we have Summer Jam and all these cool concerts. Listen, I have one of the coolest jobs on the planet. So I'm so honored and grateful that to be working at Hot 97.
Well, I want to ask you too, you know, so I love the fact that you love your job. Can you walk us through what a day-to-day is like? Because especially even pre-COVID or post-COVID, I know things pre-COVID were probably a little more hectic, but you know, what does day-to-day look like?
So, you know, I'm a mom and a wife, so I have to balance both. I can say, so pre-COVID, I would get up about 6 a.m., 6:15, get my son ready for school. Then I would hit the gym because that was my time to my me time. And then by let's say 9 o'clock, I was on the train headed into the city, you know, from the Long Island Railroad. So that's an hour commute. And then from the time I walk into the radio station, you know what, I got to cut commercials or I have an on-air shift. I got meetings, I got planning, like, and then, you know, let's say an artist has an album release party that night you got to go to, or an artist, you know, wants you to go to the studio that night and hear their music. So there will be some nights where I'm in the studio till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I got to get up 6 a.m. and be back in the office by a 10 a.m. meeting. So, you know, it varies day to day. It's not like a regular schedule where it's consistent. It's just, you're always on the go.
And you know, I think, you know, the fast paced kind of jobs are amazing. You know, I look at you like I look at my own mom. I don't know how moms are superheroes. I say that all the time because you guys manage everything. What is the best part of the job? I mean, there's so much that you're like, what would you say? This is the best part of my job. I know for me, it's speaking to kids at schools. Best part of my job is speaking to those young people.
Yeah, I would say connecting with the people. Connecting with the people is just the most amazing part of my job. I love it. I love it so much.
And likewise, you know, so many people want, you know, I think so many people want to go into radio. They want to go into entertainment. You know, what would be the advice that you would give those people, especially those young people who are listening and said, you know, I want to go into that business.
Well, do you really want to go into that business? You know, like, you have to ask yourself, because sometimes you think you want to do something until you're really in it. I always say, what is it that you're so good at that it comes so natural to you, you know? And that's, again, going back to the universe and that God-given ability, because God gives all of us a gift, right? What is that gift? Because you might want to get into entertainment because you see the benefits of it. But then when you get into it, you don't really like it. So I would say to soul search and find out what it is that you really, really do that's so natural for you, and then go after it. And if it is entertainment, remember that it's a marathon. You know, it's not a sprint. And continue to gain the knowledge and tools that you can build in your toolbox. And then once your toolbox is full, you're building houses. You know, then you're building bridges. Then you're building tunnels. Then you're like, you know, so I think that's the advice that I would give, you know, is to really think about what it is that you're so naturally gifted at, that God has given you, and go after it.
I think that's incredible advice. And by the way, you know, segues into any job that you do, how can you, you know, make yourself special in terms of what are the skills that you can acquire? What are the experiences you can acquire? But I'll tell you,
politics come natural to you, right?
Yes. And so, yes, I talked about being elected in the first grade to the student government. So I always talk about, you know, naturally loving politics, but, you know, I'm a voracious consumer of literature. I read a ton. I watch videos of politicians I admire. I read memos, et cetera.
But you do it not just because it's a job, but because you love it to some degree, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely. So reading that literature is not hard for you to understand, right?
Correct.
So that's going back to, like, it's you're so good at it that it's just natural to you. So somebody that isn't as someone who isn't as into it as you or natural to you will find it difficult and challenging to really understand. But once you embrace what it is that the universe has for you, then it becomes like second nature. I mean, that's my firm belief. And I admire politicians too. Because, you know, you guys have to balance so much, right? Your constituents, and then when things are going great, oh, they love you to death. But when things aren't as good as what they want it to be, then they're like turning on you, you know? So it's like that, it's like that balance. And for you to be one of the youngest in your space, that's talent, that's gift.
I appreciate that. And you know, I know with you, it's mutual respect and admiration, because, you know, like so much of what we do in terms of interacting with the public and helping folks. I talk so many of my friends and, you know, whether they're in sports radio, they're in radio, like, you know, you're helping provide a path for folks to get into the industry. You're helping provide a sense of relief, a sense of joy, entertainment. It's all helping folks in different ways. I think that, you know, one of the coolest things about media, and maybe this is why so many people want to go into it, is the interviews that you guys do are so freaking cool. I mean, I checked off that list.
Person you're interviewing too.
Okay, well, let me ask you. So who are some cool people? I know I rattled them up. Who are some people you like that were really cool interviews?
Okay, so, you know, I interviewed Barack Obama when he was president.
I know that now. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I got to update that bio I sent you. But yeah, Barack Obama was amazing to interview. I was chosen to work on his campaign when I was doing radio in Richmond. And, you know, when he was senator, it was important for him to get that market, that Virginia DMV market. Mm-hmm. And so I worked a lot on his first campaign. And then when he became president, I got a chance to interview him. And it was amazing. A lot of, you know, what are you asking him? Let's see the questions, you know, a lot of that. But he was really good. He was a really good interview. Mary J. Blige was another one of my favorites. 50 Cent is always really good to speak to. He challenges your intellect. You have to be on your toes when you speak to him. Gosh, I interviewed a lot of people. I've interviewed a lot of politicians. Like I said, when I worked on Barack's campaign, I had a lot of his surrogates that, you know, what's the guy, Julian Castro?
Of course, yep.
Gosh, so many of them. And this is when I was just really starting to get into politics, and I had to read and research, and, like, you know, if I didn't understand something, I would put it in my tablet and, like, how do you pronounce this person's name, and a lot of studying and stuff that goes on. Yeah.
So I think that's so cool. And likewise, you know, it leads me to my next question. So, you know, you spent so much time in radio, you know, where do you see the future of this industry? I know I speak to people who are on TV and they talk about cord cutters and they're nervous about, will millennials have cable? Will they not have, you know, with radio, it seems that you guys are super popular, whether it's traditional FM AM, whether it's the rise of Spotify and Apple Music, you know, music is always going to be ubiquitous. But where do you see the future of the industry?
Well, I think as long as it's free radio, it will always be around, you know? But I think the podcasting space is a really good space because they really do take the formula of radio. So radio kind of went away from having the personality stars and went more music focused. And that's when podcasting was able to come in and take all the best of the best personalities and just let them rip, let them talk. And I think that's why people love podcasting so much, because they get to connect with who they identify with and they like. And so I think the future is podcasting. I think the future is digital. But radio will always be around. You're just going to have different avenues and different people in that space, different entities in that space.
Sure. Well, and speaking of the future, you know, what can we expect to see from you over the next 10, you know, 10 years, 15 years? I mean, can we ask you?
So look, this is what I'm working on. My second novel is in the works.
Love it.
I'm actually going through my editing for my editor. I finished my first book. It's going to be released in 2022. I was going to release it in 2021, but it's just, I don't feel it's right timing. And then right after that, I'm coming with my second one. So I'm, you know, when I talk about the power of manifestation, right? It's being very intentional about the desires of your heart. And what does that look like? And so I write down every day what it is that I want to accomplish. And I always said that I am going to be a multimedia empire. Books, television, podcasting, all of these things is what I'm working towards. You know, I just launched my podcast. It doesn't have a lot of viewers right now, but guess what? It's just a launch. But 10, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, sky's the limit. I finished my first book. That took me 5 years in the making. Now I'm on my second book. You know, so I just am very intentional about my thoughts and dreams. And that's just building that media empire one layer at a time.
I have no doubt. I think a very safe bet is to bet on you. I will say that. So we have no doubt in terms of the success you're going to have with the book and with the podcast. And, in looking at your career, you know, you achieved so much, you've inspired so many people. I always ask this question, but the fact that your son came in the room is great. Because my question is, if you were to give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be? And obviously when I have parents on the show, it's like, you know, if you could give one piece of advice to your kids about their future. So I'll ask you, you know, the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self, knowing all you know now.
Yeah, I think it goes back to really what you believe and what you tell yourself. And that's the thing that I encourage my son, is what you believe is where it all starts. What do you believe about yourself? And if I would have told my talk to my younger self, I would have had, how can I say this, more confidence in my ability, and told myself, you can conquer it all. I always had a tenacious personality, but I always had some unbelief in there. And I think that, you know, knowing that now and being able to tell myself and to tell my son, believe it here in your mind first, because what you put into the universe is the most powerful thing in the world. And what you believe is so powerful. And that's what I would encourage young kids and young children to do. Believe in yourself. Believe in the unseen, unheard. Be very intentional. Write down your dreams. Manifest it. Pray on it. Meditate on it. And trust me, what you put into the universe, the natural law will come back to you.
You heard it here first. Believe in yourself. Go out there. And I know people are going to leave this episode feeling jazzed up, ready to go to work the next day. We are so grateful for your time, for your example, and for your friendship. And I can't wait to have you back on the show. TT, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to TT Torres for an amazing conversation. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.